Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode of Crónicas Paranormales. In today's episode, we have a guest who is going to be telling us a couple of stories and stuff. Here we have Myra.
Hi guys.
Hello Myra, how's it going for you today?
Good, how about yourself?
Pretty good. So, you have a couple of stories for the audience today, correct?
Yes.
Okay, if you want, you could start telling us, whatever story you want to start telling us, whatever you feel comfortable with. Like I told my guest here at Crónicas Paranormales, we don't judge you guys on whatever you guys experience. We're very open-minded to it.
Okay, so mine began when I was younger, maybe I must say 15 or so. I used to feel like someone would sit in the corner of my bed. But for years, it was nothing else besides that. Like, you just felt like someone would sit on the corner of your bed. Uh-huh. And I got used to it, so I didn't pay any attention to it anymore. I kind of, let it go. And it wasn't until I moved out to this specific apartment. And in that apartment, that's where I start experiencing a lot of activity.
Okay, let me ask you. Whenever you felt this presence, did you felt like somebody was watching you, or like somebody was following you, or how did you feel it?
Well, when it first started, when I was a teenager, I didn't feel much to it because I didn't pay too much attention to it. I got used to it. It was just like another normal thing for me to feel somebody sit. But once I moved by myself to that apartment, yes, it was definitely the scary vibe. Like, you have to look over your shoulder because it's just pure scared.
Okay. I understand how you felt. I kind of have an image of it.
Yes. So for that one, that when I moved to that apartment, that's where the activity began. Really. It was really bad. It started off with little things like the lights flickering, the lights going off and on, the TV changing channels, little things like that. It started minimal, but as it grew, the activity was now bigger. Like, now it was shaking the windows. And things were moving, and things were literally flying across my kitchen. So that's when it got a little bit scary for me, where I was like, okay, I can't, and I have a child. So at that point, I was like, I can't control this, and I am afraid that I can't protect my kid. So as much as I stood in that apartment, I was there probably for a year and a half trying to, stand my ground. But after it got too heavy for me, now we were able to see the black shadow. Now you can see the silhouette. And it was to the point where even my kid, as soon as she saw that big black silhouette, she would just run to me. And we knew that it was about to go down. So, pretty heavy stuff in that apartment.
Okay, let me ask you this. So you said that you saw... as the activity grew, you say you saw shadows, right? Or whispers?
Yes.
Or
no, it was just a big black shadow. You would almost say it was
just a silhouette, huh?
Tall. Yes.
Okay, let me ask you. On the silhouette, were you able to make out any specific details? Whether it was a guy, a girl, or it was just a humanoid silhouette?
Yeah, just a black human silhouette.
Okay.
I couldn't tell if it was a girl or a boy, but by the size, I would say it was a boy, and by the activity level that it would bring and the energy.
Yes.
It was something big.
And then, have you ever done any Ouija board practices or anything, how do you think this thing became attached to you? This negative energy.
I'm not gonna lie, one time me and a couple of friends, they actually did play that.
Uh-huh.
And one time, one of my friends was like, oh, you know, I want to ask a question, but I can't do it by myself. I need somebody else to hold the other side. And stupid me, sorry about the bad word. You know, here I go, trying to be a good friend. And I did put my hand down. And, I mean, I didn't ask any questions. It wasn't for me. I wasn't trying to play it.
Yes.
I have nothing to do. I was just trying to be a good friend. But I do believe that maybe that had everything to do with the occurrences throughout, you know, my life. But nothing big. Like, it was years that went quiet. I didn't see nothing or hear anything besides, like, I felt like someone would sit in the corner of my bed.
Uh-huh.
But it was nothing past that until when I was an adult and I moved out and I was on my own. And I don't know if that specific apartment had activity before something happened, before I moved, and then I got there, and it was just like, I felt like I was caught in the middle of a war zone, like, whatever happened there, and plus, maybe what been following me was just going at it, and I felt like I was in the middle of a war, because I could feel the two presence. It's different. The presence that was at that apartment,
uh-huh.
It was more like of a child because it was interested in my child's toys.
Okay.
Like, I could see her little flashcards move, like, a certain angle. Like, if someone was curious and was trying to take a better look at it.
Uh-huh.
So, her little toys. And that one I wasn't afraid of because, you know, I would see the things move in front of my eyes, but it wouldn't do anything to hurt us.
So it was just like you said, it was just kind of like exploring, you know, what was going on around its surroundings too, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
The big black one, that one's the one that we were scared of because that one had so much power with the time it grew. I think because also the way that you fear, the more fear you have in you, like the bigger it grows.
Yes.
And the more energy it had.
Whenever they're like those kind of princesses, they're known to be notorious for absorbing your negative vibe, and that, they kind of feed off of that. It makes them stronger. But my question was, when you first started noticing this, did you try seeking help, or was it just like, it's just a coincidence, you know, objects just fall on their own, kind of that thing?
At first, when I started feeling that they would sit in my bed, I definitely went to church right away, and I was like, went to confess because I'm Catholic. So I was like, listen here, priest, I'm so sorry because I touched that. It wasn't even for me. I don't like to play that thing. I just was trying to be a friend and did somebody a favor, and now I'm experiencing this. And well, the priest, of course, said, you know, your sins are forgiven, but don't go and do it again. And I was like, oh, I promise I will never ever touch anything. And so the activity was always minimal, just, you know, sitting in the corner of the bed, nothing big. So for me, I kind of just got used to it, if it makes any sense, because it wasn't anything else besides that.
And then, so you said that you would feel the presence sit at the corner of, you know, at whatever angle of your bed, but were you actually able to see, like, the bed sinking in whenever this presence sat down?
I was always sleeping. It was always like when I was waking up, so I never saw the bed sinking, but I could feel. It's almost like if somebody just came and sat, and you can feel your mattress kind of like sinking.
Yeah, like the weight in.
Yeah, you don't see it, but I felt it every other morning. Like I did definitely feel that. That's how I would wake up, kind of like.
That's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. But so you said that you moved out of your house, you went on your own, and when you were on your own, did this presence ever try to harm you physically in any way? Like, did it ever try to manifest itself by, like, throwing stuff at you or, like, you know, doing any physical harm or anything?
Definitely, yeah. Like, that when it became that aggressive, I moved out. I stood my ground for, like, a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And after that, when I saw, like, there was no beating this. It was just getting bigger and bigger, and it was out of hand. That's when I was like, okay, enough is enough. And I had to move out. But, yeah, one of, I think the scariest for me was I had a big base.
Yes.
That, with the water plant on top of my refrigerator, and I kept it in the center of the refrigerator because that's where the sun would hit it, and I had it for as long as I was there, maybe like a year and a half. Well, a little bit less, because when I had it up there, one morning I just heard like my glass shatter.
Yes.
And my first thought was like it was my kitchen table, because my kitchen table is glass.
Uh-huh.
And I just heard this big pah. And I was sleeping. I ran out of my bed. I went into my kitchen and I looked at my table, and my table was perfectly fine. And I was like, then what was that big glass shattered sound that I just heard? And I turned and I looked, and across my kitchen, I saw my water plant broken. Like, it literally, it wasn't like it fell and it rolled, and it was just right next to the refrigerator. That thing blew. Like, somebody would have to pick it up and just swinged it across my kitchen.
Oh, okay. And then, so when you went to the, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Like, yeah, they were trying to get you to notice that there was somebody there to, like, pay attention to them.
Yes.
And then, my question here was, when you, let me word this right so there is like no misunderstandings for the listeners. When you went to the church, did the priest offer you like any protection prayers, or how was the whole like ordeal there? Did he just told you, okay, you know, you confess your sin or whatever you did, you are forgiven, but you know, you could go home and just be like that? Or did they actually tell you you had to read like a certain psalm? Or a
they just give nothing? You the pen. What do they call it? Penitence?
You can say it in Spanish if you want.
Penitencia?
The penitence?
The ones that they tell you just do your three
Hail Marys and Holy Fathers?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay.
And said, never do it again. And I was like, oh, you don't have to ask me twice. Like, I shouldn't have even entertained that, but me being a friend, you know.
That's interesting, because for some of my other like stories that I've heard and like some of the other ones that people have like told me, but they don't give me permission to put them up here because some of them are a little bit more like personal, just personal. They usually have told me that when they go to the priest or to the church, the priest usually tells them, oh, if you have some kind of possession in your house, do you want me to go to your house and try to exercise it out, and you know, like, read this, like this, como ese verso de la Biblia, you know? But that's weird, and bizarre that they didn't tell you that, or maybe you didn't mention that you had some kind of apparition or negative energy in your house. I don't know.
That was when I was 15, so that one, it was just that one time, and that's what I told the priest. Like, I put my hand on that, I shouldn't have, and after that, the only thing that I felt was sitting on the corner of my bed, but I didn't entertain it too much because I got used to it, and I didn't fear that one because I just got used to it.
Yes. And then you said that you noticed when you moved to your other apartment that there was another presence of a perhaps small child.
Yes, it felt to me like, if I could say, it was of a child, just because they were so interested on the kids, on my daughter's toys. Like, wasn't there to harm.
Okay, so do you think that maybe the other presence at the apartments could have been like maybe a protector of some sort that was like preventing the other energy from harming you? Because I mean, I'm not gonna say like spirits or whatever, just because we don't know what it was, but you know, we do know that there was energy out there.
Well, I don't know what it was. I don't know if maybe the one that the black one just felt like, you're stepping on my toes, this is my territory, and because it was coming in, and of course maybe just being curious, it was pissing the other one off. Like, I said, no, why are you still here? you know, but maybe the other identity was like, well, I live here and I've been here. You're the one who all of a sudden is showing up. I honestly don't know, but that's how I felt. Like, it was a war between them two.
Uh-huh.
But of course, the black one, the black shadow, that would always overpower the other one. And I, as soon as the other one was gone, this one would just
rampage and stuff.
Do mass damage. Yeah, like, it was scary. Like, I feared for my life, and I feared for my daughter's life. Like, we would be sitting in the middle of my living room, and she would just be crying, and all I could do is, like, kind of cover her with my body.
Yes.
In a sense, because I had a window to my right and a window to my left. My living room and my kitchen dining area was open. It was an open floor, so you were able to see from one side to the other. And one window was starred, my kitchen, well, usually with my living room. That one would start nice and slow, ta 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 ta. And then the kitchen, like maybe a minute into it, would start nice and slow, ta ta ta. And then before you know it, I had both windows just ta 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 ta. And I really was like, if these windows are to like shatter, they're really gonna cut my child. So I would just sit in the middle of my living room and my dining table and just hug her and cover her and shield her with my body. And she would just ask me, like, Mom, what's happening? Why are the windows shaking? Like, and I would lie to her and I'd be like, it's just an airplane, honey. It's a jet that's, you know,
yes,
flying really low, and it's close to the apartment, and that's why the windows are shaking, but it's gonna stop, you know. And I would try to, like, cover as much as, you know, I didn't want her to be scared, so I would lie to her a lot.
Yeah, you would protect her psychologically. And then, okay, so question, another question. When did you or your daughter ever experience any physical harm from these entities? Like, you know, waking up in the morning and all of a sudden have, like, bruises, scratches, or just, like, any of that?
Well, I always had bruises.
You always had bruises?
Yes, on my legs, especially on my legs. Like, every other month, I would say, I would wake up in big bruises. And I was like, what in the world? But I didn't even hit myself. Like, how did I get that? Like, and I would not mind it because I was like, maybe I did hit myself.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't even notice. But it would be irritating when I wanted to go out and I knew I was going to wear a skirt or a dress. And then I have mass bruises. And that's when it would really piss me off. Like, these sorry.
No, go. You're good. Go ahead.
These mother effing, you know, like, just really did that. Like, because sometimes I was, like, aware. Like, I know I did not do anything to her. I didn't hurt myself. I didn't fall. I had nothing. Like, and now I can't wear this cute outfit, you know?
Yeah. So. Okay. So, yeah. It looks like the thing was actually kind of, you know, like, harming you in a way, but not really, like, not really severely, though. Like, from what I've heard, when they usually do that, it's because they want you to notice them, like especially, like, if you say you were, like, ignoring it to not feed it, and, like, negative energy, then they tend to, like, very mildly harm the person, so that they could strike fear in the person, you know, so that way they could feed off the fear.
Yeah, that's as much as physically. I think it was just the bruises.
And how old was your daughter, if you don't mind me asking?
At that time, she must have been, like, I want to say 5 or 6.
5 or 6. Okay, so she was still very young. Did she ever told you, like, mom, why is there, like, you know, a so-and-so behind you or anything like that, or...
Well, she wouldn't tell me anything, but as soon as she, because we would both be in the living room, it's a small little living room, and we would see the black shadow just all of a sudden just fly by, she would just get up and she would run to me and she would just hug me, and I knew that she just saw what I saw. Otherwise, she would have just continued watching her show, you know, TV, and not have gotten so scared that she has to leave and come and hug me, and, you know.
Okay, so yeah, she was so, also able to see, like, the presence of the thing. Okay.
Yeah, I knew she was able to see what I saw, because it only took 2 seconds for her to get up and run to me and hug me, and I was like, oh snap, she saw it too.
Okay, and then did you took like any measures to protect yourself and protect your child, like, you know, like maybe opening up a Bible, or I don't know how much knowledge you had of like stuff like that when, you know, when this series of unfortunate events happened to you?
You know what, once it started getting stronger and I did have a Bible, I uh-huh. would pray. I would be scared though. I would be scared because I was like, I'm just going to make it angrier, because I knew, like, because I had done that and it did work for like a couple of days. It uh-huh. would be peace and quiet and you're like, okay, we're back to normal, you know? And then it would come even with more strength. So I kind of started to like fear it a little bit and wasn't wanting to move it anymore, but I finally built the courage and I did look for someone who I was told did blessings, and uh-huh. and I went to this person. Somebody gave me her phone number and I was like, thank you so much, like I appreciate it, like this is my last to go resort, you know, like this is the last thing that I have. If this person who they say is so good can't help me, then I'm screwed. But I was willing to take the chance, and somebody set up a meeting with her.
Uh-huh.
I did meet her, and she was like, okay, you know, she took me into a room and she was like, okay, I hear you having, you're experiencing some activity in your house. And I was like, yes. And I've been told that you're the best and that maybe you could help me. And I said, I'm so desperate. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I really need you to go to my house and just do a blessing, you know, just do what you do. What, you know, from what I was told, she did everything with holy water and holy salt and just prayers. Like uh-huh. she doesn't do like black magic. From what I heard, it's just like prayers. She tried to cast.
Was this lady like a curandera kind of type of lady, or?
I don't think she was a curandera. I think she just did prayers.
So she was a praying person.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know, cause I didn't know anything about her besides she did these kind of like prayers. I don't know if she maybe like cast spirits out or something. I don't know. I didn't get to talk to her, get to know her. All I know is I got this number and I was like, I'm up for it. And I gave it a chance. I set up a meeting. I sat down with her and I was like so happy, thrilled to finally have found somebody that was maybe able, willing to help me. But the moment she said, let me ask you something. And I was like, yeah, shoot for it, go for it. She said, do they sit in the corner of your bed? And I was just like, oh my God, yes. Like, how would you have known that? That was the only question she had for me. Do they sit on the corner of your bed? And I said, yes. And then all of a sudden, she went from, she was going to help me to,
I can't do this.
Okay. I can't do this.
Oh, I said go ahead and then I'll tell you like what I was gonna say after you finish your segment, your story. I didn't want to cut you off, my bad.
Okay, no, it's okay. So once she said that and I answered, and that my answer was yes, she said, I can't help you. And I was like, but I mean, why? Like,
yeah.
How did we change from yes to no? And she said, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And I was like, okay, like, go ahead. And she said, I am scared. And I looked at her and I was like, you're scared to go to my place and do a blessing? And she said yes. She said, because this was her words, she said, when they sit in the corner of your bed, that's a demon.
That's exactly what I was gonna tell you. I was gonna like mention it. Maybe when she said that, it was because they Like, demons are notorious for either doing two things, sitting in the corner of your bed, or they usually lay next to you. And wow, there is very rare cases where, como cuando dicen se te sube el muerto, you know, like you get sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. There is sense where it's one of them that they're on top of you, like trying to absorb your life energy.
Yeah, I had those episodes, but I learned to overcome those with the creed. I don't know. It took me a while to finally figure out what they were afraid of. So now when I started experiencing that, I would start in heavenly, you know, el credo.
Sí, el credo.
I would have to say maybe 2 to 3 times before I could feel like, okay, I can move, I'm awake again. But I learned that they fear that very, very, very much. So I was like, okay, well, now I got you, boo. So
yeah.
You want to be coming at me? Well, then you're going to have to listen to all of this that you don't like then.
Yeah, if you want, after we finish the recording session, I could tell you a couple of, like, protection prayers that people have told me. Hay unas que están en español, there's some in Spanish, and some in English. You know, and if you want to search them up, or I could send you the link to one of them. I know one of them does work, because that's the one my family uses. You know, and whenever, like, we've experienced, like, stuff like that, then we use that prayer, and it works, you know. I'm telling you for personal experience.
Yeah, yeah, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what would help me at that time. So I had to figure it out on my own. Like, okay, so this is what I'm able to use to kind of get out of it. Like, if it was here and there, you know, it took me a while, but definitely she said no, she was scared and she was not going to be able to help me. She said, I will send you the holy water. I will send you the holy salt, and I will send you the oración.
The prayers.
The prayers that you need to do, she said, but you gotta do it on your own, she said, because I'm not gonna be there. And I was mortified, because I was like, oh my God, like, you were my solution to my problem, and now my solution is saying no to me. Like, now...
Yeah, like you said, you had the hope, the ray of hope on her, and then for her to tell you, yeah, I can't do it, this out of my hands, you know, it does kind of strike more fear into your heart.
Yeah, and she said because of previous experience, she said the last time I went against one of these, she said it was so ugly that she wasn't willing to put herself, you know, like, risk herself again.
Yeah.
She told me that the last time what had happened, I guess, well, if she called it a demon, the demon took her own shape. And,
ooh.
Yeah. And then her husband couldn't even tell her apart from the demon. And that's when she realized, like, this has way too much power, and I don't know what else happened. That's all she told me. She's like, he literally took the same shape of me and was pretending to be me, and my husband couldn't even tell us apart. And that's when I knew, like, no, it was, I guess it was that bad for her. It was too scary that she said she would not go against one of them ever again. And she did send me the holy salt, she did send me the holy water, and she did send me the prayers. And, you know, I did do it by myself. Again, it got stronger. It leaves. It don't like it. It comes back. And this time with more power, it was to the point where now it wasn't just the electricity, it was now my phone. Like, you could just see my bars from my cell phone come down, and I couldn't make calls, I couldn't receive calls. And the biggest one was when it was able to follow me into my car.
That's what I was gonna ask you. I was gonna ask you if this, like, I guess, episodes. You could call them episodes. If these episodes only happened to you exclusively at home, or also whenever you were out and about, you know, like say you were going out to the store or to work, or like when you were in your car or whatever.
Well, this one happened. This one probably was the first time that it happened outside that house, that apartment. It was actually in the behind, because the way that it said my living room window was literally right in the back. There was my alley where we park our cars. So I don't know if it was because it was too close to the house that it was able to still follow me out there, or if it has been everywhere with me, you know, and I just didn't realize it.
Yes.
But this particular incident, I was like, oh, heck no. You know, I knew it was back and it had more power and it was going to be angrier, and I wasn't trying to be by myself at the house. So I grabbed my keys, I locked the door, and I was like, no, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to my sisters, to anybody, whoever is home right now, because I just didn't want to be alone in that apartment.
Yes.
I get in my car, and as soon as I turn on my truck, it turned on, and then all of a sudden, it's like when your battery dies. It turned on, and then
it powers off.
It started to turn off, and all I could see was my lights. They started to dim down, and then my whole entire car. At the time, I drove a big truck. It was a Cadillac Escalade.
Uh-huh.
So it was a big 4x4, four-wheel drive. It was a big car.
Yeah.
So for it to be able to just dim the lights and turn it off completely, I was mortified. I was just like, what just happened? Like, you turned on. Why are you off? Like, I need you to turn on, and it wouldn't turn on anymore. And then I looked through my back view mirror.
Uh-huh.
And I could see the black shadow sitting in the back seat, and it was almost like it was jumping around, like jumping of joy,
like joy
up
in
and
itself.
Down, left and right, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I could not believe that it was inside my car. I opened the door, and I was so scared, so nervous, I couldn't even press the red button to unlock my seatbelt. So I just opened the door, I tried jumping out, and the seatbelt pulled me back, and I literally was like in tears, like, this thing is going to kill me in here, and no one's going to ever know or find out, because I'm by myself, and I'm out here in the alley, and I don't know how I did it. I was able to press the unlock button, and I jumped out, and the first thing I did, I ran to the back of the truck, like, please somebody tell me that it was just somebody walking by, and it was somebody's shadow, somebody's silhouette. Like, please, like, let me think that I'm crazy, you know, just my mind's racing. But no, I go back there really quick. Nobody. So I could, like, blame it. Like, oh, maybe it was that person's silhouette. Like, there was nobody. And next thing I know, I just ran back inside the house, and I started barfing in my toilet, and you could just see the lights flickering, like, you ain't going nowhere, you know. And
it sounds to me like this entity was it wasn't like really haunting the place. It was more like if it was attached to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, the way you said that, you know, you left to your vehicle, and it just happens to follow you out there. So it, you know, like, it gives me the sense that this entity was getting attached to you, you know. Let me just take a quick break real quick, just because I got to do the break, and then we'll be back in like 10 seconds. Just give me 10 seconds and we'll be back, okay?
Okay.
All right, guys, so we are back with the second segment of this. So as you were telling us, Myra, that this entity followed you from your house to your vehicle, and my question for you is here, did anybody else experience this? Like, you know, friends, family members, or even better yet, did you ever try to take photos of it just to see if you were able to see anything, just out of curiosity, or that never crossed your mind?
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I am more than scared to, like they say, face your fears.
Yes.
So that's something that I didn't do, but everybody kept telling me, why don't you just record, like, when you're sleeping? Like, why? And because I am so scared to actually see, because I know it's there. I could feel it sitting in the corner of the bed. I know something's there. I'm just too scared to face it face on. Like, damn, this is really what I have going on. So I'm kind of like a little bit like kind of protecting myself, like not to let myself overwork and be scared of it.
Yes.
So I never pursued recording, but as far as other people, oh yeah, like I called in my sister because she said you're crazy. I was like, well, come over, let me show you a couple of things. And she came over and I was like, check out my microwave. I said, you see it, the door's closed, right? And when you open your microwave, it's supposed to like not do anything, right? And she's like, yeah. Okay, well, let me just show you what I deal with on a daily basis. I open the door for my microwave and the microwave starts spinning. The light turns on and it starts spinning like it's cooking something. And I was like, this is a brand new microwave. Like, this is brand new. Because when I moved into that apartment, I bought everything. I didn't have anything, so I bought microwave. I bought my living room set, my bedroom set. Like, everything was brand new. Toaster, blender, everything was brand new. I was like, so I don't understand why this is doing this. And she looked at me, and she closed the door, the microwave door, and then it still turned on, and it was spinning by itself. And I was like, I'm telling you, like, I'm not crazy, like these things are really happening, and I'm so glad that you decided to come over and see just a little glimpse of what I have to deal with. And I also had my coworker come over, because I would tell her and she didn't really believe me, but we would come for our lunch break and have lunch at my apartment and catch up on our shows and then go back to work. And one time we were sitting watching our TV and it just started changing channels. And she looked at me and she's like, why did you change it? Like, it was so good. And I'm literally one hand in my plate and the other one in my sandwich. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, it wasn't me. And then she looks down to the control and she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. She said, no, I'm getting out of here. Like, let's leave. Like, I'm never coming to your house ever again. Like, she finally started to see, you know, too, that I wasn't lying. And after the activity started getting really heavy, I actually had my brother move in with me because I was so scared to be by myself. I said, brother, do me a favor, like, please come live with me. The thing is, I just don't want to be by myself. And I said, you don't even have to pay me rent, like, it's rent free, like, you know, just please stay in my living room. Like, I needed somebody to be there with me.
Yeah, and you said it, the support.
Yeah, he did. And he too also started experiencing things, you know, like he also said he would hear the toys in the kitchen. Like, we had a cat. I had a cat. And he would say he would hear his little like bells ring in the kitchen, like if somebody was playing with his toys. And he also told me that one time he thought he saw what almost looked like a little person, like a little black shadow who was peeking, just poked their head out of the kitchen to the living room. And that one freaked him out a little bit, because he was like, I swear I saw something in your kitchen, like a little black shadow just poked his head and then noticed that I was looking that way and just went back in. And I was like, well, thank the Lord that you're also seeing what I see, because I was like, I'm not crazy. I don't know why people think that I'm crazy. I said, but I shouldn't say that I'm happy that you're seeing things, because it's scary. But then again, it evaluates, you know, that what I've been telling people, like, it is happening. Like, it's not my head.
Yeah, that's that little shadow. I don't even know what. It might have been, like you said, the other little entity that was around you. That's probably what your brother saw.
because it was playing with my cat's little
like jingles.
Toys. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did your cat ever like, or did you ever notice if your cat was acting weird, especially when like this phenomenons appear?
You know what? He would give me the heads up.
Uh-huh.
So I would know because he would sit facing the wall, just a blank wall, and start hissing at the wall. So he was mad at whatever he was able to see at the wall, and he would just sit there and hiss at the wall. And once I knew that he was angry or he was hissing at something so he could see what I couldn't see, I knew I was to run and get my child. So first thing I did, I would call my daughter's name out and start running to the room because I knew that things were about to get, like the activity was going to get started. So yeah, he definitely would see things, and eventually he got to the point where he didn't want to be in the apartment anymore. He would like, you open the door and he would run out, and he wouldn't come back. Like, he ended up running away because he did not want to come back anymore.
Oh, well, so that entity actually drove your cat out of your house?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he would
go ahead.
Running.
So so how was it that you were able to finally get rid of this entity? I mean, you say you moved, correct?
Yes.
But when you moved to the new house or your new place, did any of those entities follow you around? Did you get on seeing the shadow one or the little, let's just call it the little boy?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, that's very interesting and peculiar. I mean, like it seemed like the shadow person was like attached to you in a way, you know, because like you said, it followed you outside. But then as soon as you left your old place, it didn't follow you nowhere. I almost even want to say that the little boy that was there was trying to protect you from the big shadow.
In a sense, I didn't fear that one. So I think he was, like I said, he was just caught, like, in the, like, it was just, like, it was a situation where I think this other one was just threatened or trying to, like, make sure that he understood, like, I'm bigger than you.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was a war because, I mean, if my little daughter's flashcard started moving, it was something like little, but maybe like 5 minutes into it, you would see the big shadow just all of a sudden. And it's like, oh, snaps. Like, he's here and angry. So, like, pretty much run to get my child because sometimes this would happen like around 7 or 8 at night when it's already dark.
Uh-huh.
And my living room window was faced to a hallway, so we didn't get no light in that room. So when the lights turned off, I mean, it was pretty much pitch black. And sometimes I would be in the kitchen or in the living room, and I could just hear my daughter scream because she would get so scared that it's pitch black and she's by herself and we already know the activity. So here I am just bumping into everything because I'm just trying to do what I can to run and get her and make sure that she's okay.
Okay. So out of your own opinion, what do you think this entity was, this shadow? I know you said that you think it was, well, they told you it was a demon. You know, that's what the other lady said. But do you feel like there was more to it? Do you feel like it might have been, not a demon, but like an actual spirit of just a normal spirit that got attached to you because you went and, you know, unintentionally participated on the Ouija board?
I don't know if it was just, like you said, a spirit or if it is a demon, like the lady said. I can't make out. All I know is that when the presents arrive, it is very scary.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm definitely scared for my life. So I almost want to say it's not a spirit because it has so much more power to it.
So you want? So you do? You do want to say that it was perhaps a demon, then some kind of like
yes.
demon? Okay.
Yes.
This is a very good question that just came into my mind. Did your other friend that did the Ouija board that asked the questions, did they experience any of this at all, or was it just you experiencing this?
Well, after a while, the person who was playing it, she was having like activity too.
Uh-huh.
At that moment, I didn't experience what she was experiencing, but she did call me a couple of times that she could hear somebody breathing outside her window, and they were breathing really heavily, and she was scared for her life. And me, as a friend, I would drop what I was doing in the middle of the night, and I would go and like spend the night with her, you know, to comfort her.
Uh-huh.
But back then, I wasn't having any experience with anything, so I couldn't understand her. So it was happening to her first, the activity. And then we stopped being friends. So I don't know if the activity stopped or continued. So, you know.
Okay, I was going to say, because it kind of seems to me that this entity started messing with her first, you know, since she was the one that initiated the whole Ouija board ritual. Let's just call it ritual for sakes.
Yeah,
and then
played it a lot more.
Yeah. That entity bounced from her to you, since you were the other participant on this whole ritual. That's what I'm thinking.
It could be. I mean, I don't disregard that possibility. It could be. I don't understand it, you know, because I was like, I learned my lesson. I went, I confessed. I never, ever looked at it ever again. I, you know, went on my happily way of just doing me. Definitely was trying to like find how to beat this with spiritual guidance, so you know, I had to by myself started to do a couple of little prayers and start to figure out what would scare them away, what would help me to catch a break.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, till this day, I Lord knows, you know, I go to church on Sundays, I have my, I go to this Bible group, like, I try to stay on top of my faith and, you know, like, do what's good.
Okay. And then... You say you mentioned a couple of prayers. Were these prayers in Spanish, or were they in English, or?
You know? The creed is both Spanish and English, but I know it in Spanish a little bit better than
uh-huh.
I know it in English.
Okay, so but the ones you personally used, were they in Spanish or were they in English?
Spanish.
Okay. Do you wanna? I don't know if you want to. I mean. You know, if you want to mention at least one of them, one or two of them, or a couple of them, that way the listeners, if they are going through something similar, or you know, they could, you know, perhaps use it as a point of reference. If you want to do, if
yeah.
you're comfortable with it, you know, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable with anything.
No, because if it helps somebody else that could possibly be going through the same things that I was going through, and it helps them the way that it helped me, I mean.
Okay. Yeah, so if you want
to... I'm happy to help.
Yeah, so if you want to...
El credo,
the creed?
Yes, you want me to say it in Spanish?
Oh, no, you don't have to say them. You just, like, you just mention the names of them, and then they could
yeah.
do research on that if you want. No, that just so that way it doesn't
yeah.
take a lot of time.
That one's my favorite, my go-to.
Okay.
At any given time, if I start feeling a little bit of fear... or panicky, or you know, any bad energy, I start with creo en Dios, you know.
Okay, the creed.
Yep, that's my favorite, my go-to, like literally for everything, especially when I'm sleeping and I can't get up. Like you said, you feel like somebody's on top of you and you can't move. You can mm-hmm. hear everything. I mean, I even learned how to try to cheat this, you know, because you can't move and you can hear everybody around you. So I started telling my partner at the time, if you hear me humming, please, please, I beg you, move me. Just move me, because I'm not sleeping. I am awake, and I just can't move. So they knew, him and my daughter at the, well, my daughter, when I was going through that, they knew that if I started, if I was laying down and I started going,
humming,
they knew that they needed to come and move me. And then I would be like, oh, thank you so much. Oh my gosh. You have no idea how long I've been trying to get this noise out of me, you know. And they're like, you weren't sleeping. Oh, heck no, I have not been sleeping. I've been listening to you and your whole conversation and da 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 da. And they're like, whoa. Like, yes, but thank you. Thank you that you remembered to move me when you hear me humming. Because I had to find other ways on how to get out of it. And yeah. I can't move. So I would make any little noise. I learned how to, like, at least cry out for help in that way.
Have you heard of astral projections?
No.
Have you seen? Okay, so let me just use a point of reference. Hopefully you've seen this movie. The movie Insidious. Have you seen those movies?
You know what? I stay away from
scary
movies.
Okay. So, just plain and simple, an astral projection is a process where your spirit detaches from your body. And you're able to travel around. You're able to travel around to different like realms, or like even just your spirit detaches from your body, and you're able to travel spiritually around your house, you know, and like stuff like that. So, like to me when people tell me, oh, I had sleep paralysis, and I was able to see everybody around me and stuff like that, but they weren't listening to me, kind of like if you were a ghost, that's just think about it like that. It seems to me like they were trying to, or unintentionally, or just by accident, or whatever, like they astral projected themselves, you know, like their body, and they were kind of like the spirit was confused on how to get back into their body, you know. Like I've done research on that stuff. It's pretty
well.
Pretty
I was never able to see anybody. Like, oh, you know, I felt like my spirit was out here, and I couldn't see them like that.
Uh-huh.
All I could do was hear them. Like, I could hear that they were right next door to me, and I could hear them talking, but no, I could never see them. I could only hear them. When I was sleeping, I always dreamed that I was, however, in my dreams, I was jumping from house to house. I was able to float. I always
see that's a form. Even though it seems like a dream, you're mm-hmm. conscious in your dream. That's a form of astral projection.
Okay. So that way, you know, I felt it. In my dreams, I do feel myself floating. I do see myself flying. Like I feel it. I don't see like myself, okay, I'm sleeping right there, and then I see something, my soul over there. Like, no, I felt more like it was a dream. Like, I'm just dreaming that I'm flying, that I'm, you know,
yeah,
floating.
So that's pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much what astral projection is. Whenever you have this like very vivid dreams, are you sleeping in your back or are you sleeping on the side? How does that usually like come about?
I usually sleep on my back.
Okay, so that's usually the most prone or normal position for when people sleep, that they either experience a sleep paralysis or experience, like they said, these astral projections. I mean, you could do research on them. You know, they're not gonna have like nothing scary or anything. It's just like an explanation of what it is, you know. And I find it very interesting that a lot of people have experienced these things whenever they're sleeping on their back, on their back, you know. I don't know why it is, but my hypothesis and my theory is that when you sleep on your back, your spirit's more flexible to like kind of reflect itself out of your body and, you know, like wander around, you know, whether, you know, it seems to you like a dream, but in real lifetime, it is actually happening.
Yeah, because I actually love it, and I'm able to, in my dream, I'm able to control it. Like, I'm able to be like, okay, right now, I feel like flying, so right now, and then I start feeling, you know, like I'm little by little going up, 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 like I'm able to control. I've learned to control my dreams too, like nightmares. If I start dreaming with the devil, like I know how to in 2 seconds get out of it, and I'm up, like I'm awake. Because I no longer want to be entertaining that dream. So yes. I've learned to control, like, nope, I'm out of here, and I wake up. I don't jump to another dream. No, no, no. I literally, like, I know I have control over my body. Now I know, like, open your eyes. And I'm up, and I'm like, whew, okay, I got out of that one, you know. And then I can go back to sleep. And if I do go back to sleep, it usually ends up moving to a different dream if I do dream, but I have had, you know, face-offs with him in my dream, definitely, like one time I was dreaming that I was at church, and I was looking at Jesus in the cross, and I was just admiring his beauty, and I was just like, oh Lord, thank you, you know, so much for dying for me in the cross. And I was just talking to him, and in this particular dream, you know, that Christ just opened up his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, they were so red. I knew right there and then that that was in God, and I needed to get out of there and open my eyes. And I was just like, Lord Jesus, like, this thing is able to even pretend like it's you, like it fooled me, like I was in my dream and I was all about you, and the next thing I know, it's not you. Like, how could he possibly have, you know, like, how could he do this? Like, how is he able to think that this is okay? Like, the audacity, you know? So, yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah,
go at battles with him while I'm awake or sleep.
Yeah, it seems, yeah, like I said, it seems to me like you're able to astral project yourself without, like, without you being conscious about it. Like, yeah, just do some research on it, because there are some dangers of it. Like, if you do it, and, like, if you're able to do it, you do have to take precautions, because there is this thing called the silver string of the dreams. It sounds really silly, trust me, I know. But what that is like, think of it as a bungee cord. You know, it's like a bungee cord when your spirit detaches itself from your body. That bungee cord enables you to come back into your real body, you know, spiritually wise. So when people who do astral projections, they project themselves out of their body, they run the risk that they could go to another realm where there is like spirits, you know, good or bad or evil spirits or whatever you want to call them. And they take the chance that these spirits could come in, cut the silver string, you know, the bungee cord, and they would be able to possess your body. So it's just like I said, the astral projection is very interesting. I don't want to scare you, you know, I'm just like
no,
telling
no,
you.
It's good for me to know, because, you know, I think I have control of so much, but then there's even more that,
yeah,
you know, this is new to me, because I don't talk to anyone about it. I don't share, you know, if it's not my close, like, relatives that have seen things with me, or close friends, like, and they of course don't experience anything, they can't help me. And I mean, if they were to ask me, I can only help them so little, like with, like what I said, the creed, that's one way of getting them off my body, so to speak, you know.
I could tell you a couple of them right now off the bat from, like, stories that I've heard and people say it works and stuff, you know, for stuff like that. Give me one moment. Hold on. I'm going to mute the mic. Okay, so we are back. One of them that I've read that people use it a lot is called La Magnifica.
Okay.
And then you can search it up. It's the Magnifica one. And then the one in my family, the one we use, it's La Oración de la Luz. I could send you the PDF to that one, and then, you know, through Gio's email or Discord or whatever, or you could search it up.
Yeah, no, I'm writing him down because I'm most definitely going to take a look into it, because for me, I know it can hurt me, so this is knowledge for me, you know, like it can only help me.
Yeah, because with the Oración de la Luz, like I said, like the one, because we use that one and stuff, what that one does, like, because like spirit, so like I was telling Gio the other day, people have auras, you know, you have your aura of light, if you don't have like any malicious in you, and then there's those people who have dark auras, you know, and like there is the demons that like to feed on the light of the life energy of the, or the light aura of people. So with this one, it's a protection prayer. They, what it does is it protects you from like all the bad, from the bad spirits, pretty much, you know, or like bad situations.
Yeah, because after I moved out of that apartment, I pretty much have been in peace. But there is still situations, you know, where I could be turning off the lights and it's dark and it kind of like, I do start getting a little bit scared, but I remind myself, like, we're not there anymore. Calm down, relax. But just the fact that I do feel a little type of way, like I'm still a little bit scared, I feel like it's my spirit kind of trying to tell me, like, you have to get your guard up. Like, it's time to put your guard up. And I wonder if it's my aura, if it's my aura that would be the one that attracts
maybe you have that, like I said, like, I mean, maybe you have that kind of aura that like dark energies kind of seek to, you know, because I'm sensitive to stuff like this too, you know, like I was telling you the other day, and I've told like some of my other guests and stuff. But yeah, this is just like, that's just like way some people are. Like, some people have the dawn, that, or the ability to be more sensitive to the paranormal stuff, whether it is ghosts, dead people, demons, or, you know, paranormal creatures and stuff, you know, apparitions. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, because I am able to pick up or sense when I go into a home, or if I go into a property. If I start feeling like that anxiety inside of me, like, then I know it's no good, no bueno. Don't even step foot in there, like, back away. And one of those places is, sadly, the mission. The mission that we have here in Lompo, like, it's a beautiful place, like, view, but... And I like the trail. I like to run the trail in the back. But golly, it gives me so much anxiety. And I'm one of those, like, okay, slowly but surely, we gotta kind of ease into our fears. It's okay. Like, you know, I have my dog with me, and I usually take somebody to walk with me. But last time we were there, not that long ago, and Gio was with us. Poor Gio, we left him behind. Because we were almost at the end of the trail. We were walking out, and it was getting dark. The sun was going down. Next thing we know, me and my sister, my younger sister, we heard this big growl. I mean, big growl coming out of the bush. That we just looked at each other, and we knew that what we just heard was nothing little, and it was nothing nice. So I had my weights on and I was jogging, but when I heard that big growl coming, like, literally towards us, I was sprinting, like, I was running for my life, and we left you behind. We just looked at each other and we're like, nope, we're out of here, and we started running. We booked it when maybe like a minute into when we were almost out to the front of the street. We turned around and we were like, oh my gosh, we forgot Gio. Like, what if this thing took Gio? And we waited for like another minute, and we saw his shadow coming, and we're like, okay, thank God, like, we forgot him. And that's one of the places where again, I dislike going. I just have that anxiety attack inside of me, and it's just scary, and I know I shouldn't go there, but, you know, he invited me for a walk, and I took him up on the offer, and that's what I get. I knew I shouldn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that prayer, the one I already sent to your brother, maybe that prayer you guys could recite, especially you, since you know you say you're a little bit sensitive to stuff like that, and you know maybe it could help you, you know, like even you know protect yourself from whatever bad spirits are there, you know, whatever bad juju.
Victor?
Yes. Okay. So we have you back.
Yeah, it didn't want you to give me the prayers. We got disconnected.
Yeah, I seen it. No, but I was telling you maybe you, whenever you go out for like a trail and whenever you're feeling unease, maybe you could recite that prayer. And, you know, that prayer actually, like I said, it helps you calm yourself. I think we're going to cut it from here, guys. And, you know, thank you for tuning in with us, guys. And I hope you guys enjoyed the story. And like I said, this is a judgment-free zone, you know, because whatever Myra went through, you probably haven't gone through it, so you know don't judge her. Don't be saying, oh no, that's fake, you know, because everybody has gone through some kind of paranormal activity. Well, thank you very much, guys, for tuning in to Chronicas, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Thank you.